If you're up against overwhelming circumstances and impossible situations, then you're just in the right place to express faith and to see God do something great. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to study with Paul Chappell, Journeys of Faith. Life is absolutely and undeniably a journey of faith. Every single human being on the planet lives by faith. It's the object of the faith that differs. Every day you express faith, you place your faith in people and circumstances and things all around you. Life is designed by God to be a journey of faith. And when you come up against difficult situations, God wants you to turn to Him, to obey Him, to submit and yield to what He's doing in your life. And it's in that journey that you discover you can trust Him. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Today we study Journeys of Faith, and you're going to be equipped and challenged in your walk with God. Before we join today's message, I want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org for a host of resources that will help you and encourage you in your spiritual growth. Today, we're studying the journey to the promised land, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9.
I want you to listen to me this morning. Sometimes we may not know where a trial's taking us. We may not know what's happening on a given day. We may not understand what has befallen us, but the King does. The Lord knows. And you can wait on the Lord. And you can know that He's working all things for your good. The Bible says, wait on the Lord. Well, Joshua was a proven man. He was a serving man. He was a patient man. But I want you to see a final attribute of his life. One of the reasons I believe God used him. He was a man with a vision. Joshua was a man with a godly vision. Some of you recall in Numbers chapter 13, there were 12 spies sent into the land. 10 of those spies saw the land with human eyes, but 2 of those spies saw the land through the lens of the Bible, through the Word of God. Those 2 men were Joshua and Caleb. We don't even remember the names of the other men because they were not men of faith. But Joshua and Caleb had great faith in the promises of God. Notice in Numbers 14 and verse 6, the Bible says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes and spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Now here we see these 2 men with their great vision. They said, listen, if God be for us, who can be against us? They said, if God wants us to have this land, then He will provide this land for us. Their vision was based on the promises of God. Now we're not speaking about some mystical what I think or the power of positive thinking or if I can visualize it, then it will become something. That's not what we mean when we speak about vision in a Bible-based church. When we speak about vision, we are speaking about what we know to be true because of the promises of the Bible. For example, Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. The word there, vision, means biblical understanding. Where there is no biblical understanding, people perish. Why are people killing one another in Los Angeles and sometimes in the Antelope Valley? And why are drugs being passed? And why are families falling apart? And why are people perishing in America today? May I say, more people will die in America this year because of drunken driving than all of the casualties that will take place in Iraq. Why? Because where there is no vision, biblical understanding. Where people are not following the Word of God, where there is no vision, people perish, my friend. And you see, what I understand in Joshua's life is that he had a clear understanding of what God had said. God said, I'm going to send you into that promised land. The reason he was a man of vision was not because he had a good imagination. It was because he had great faith in the Word of God. He believed that what God said, God would accomplish. I remember back in 1986, 21 years ago, this past week, we were getting ready to start the ministry here in Lancaster, and we had a lot of things to do. One of the things I had to do was make up a gospel tract. So I went down to the print shop at Hart Printers downtown here, and I said, we need to have a gospel tract. We put some Bible verses on the back of it, and on the inside, I tried to put some things about the church. And I said things like exciting Sunday school, vibrant music, active youth departments, things of this nature. And the printer printed it up. I began to pass them around town, invite people to church. I went to a preacher's meeting not long after that, and I was proud of that gospel track, and I gave a couple of them to some preacher friends. And I noticed after a little while that two preachers were over in a corner looking at that little brochure, and they were giggling at one another and laughing. And I thought, did I misspell a word, or are they laughing at my picture? What are they laughing at? And I went over and said, what's so funny? They said, well, Brother Chapel, they said, right here on the track, you say you have an exciting Sunday school. They said you don't even have a Sunday school. You don't even have Sunday school teachers. You only had 30 or 40 people last week. How can you put that on the track? I said, well, my wife teaches the kindergarten through the sixth grade. She's excited about it. That's an exciting Sunday school. I said, well, maybe, but you put right here, vibrant music ministry. They said, you don't have a music director, you don't have a choir, you don't have a music program. How can you say you have a vibrant music ministry? I said, well, I lead the singing and I'm vibrant when I do it. That's a vibrant music ministry. They said, well, what about active youth? You don't have a youth director, you don't have a youth program. I said, oh yeah. I said, last week we had our first youth activity. I had six teenagers present. One of them was hyperactive. That qualifies us for an active youth ministry. So why'd you put those things on that brochure? Because Jesus said, I will build my church. You see, he said, they that go in tears, they that sow in tears shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. You see, there are promises in the Word of God that we can claim. It's not our vision of grandeur. It's just that we believe God's Word is going to be blessed. And I'm saying that Joshua was a man who simply believed God's Word. Joshua believed. God said, I'm going to take you into that promised land. I'm going to give you those cities. I'm going to give you those tremendous crops and blessings. And Joshua had faith to believe in God. Joshua's resume set him apart. He was a man ready to be used of God. But notice secondly this morning, Joshua's responsibility. We see why God chose Joshua, but what did God want Joshua to do? As we study this journey of faith, what exactly was it that God had for Joshua? Notice in verse 2 of Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now, I want you to notice in simplest terms, Joshua's responsibility was to provide leadership for the people of God. He was to lead them into the conquest of the promised land. And I want to just break this down into two categories very quickly. First of all, I believe Joshua led his own family. Joshua led his own family. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, the Bible says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Say it with me now. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I believe God blessed Joshua, and God gave Joshua the opportunity to lead because he led his own house. As for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. Dads, I know Father's Day is past, but may I just challenge you to lovingly lead your family, to pray with them, to read God's Word to them, to talk with them, to help them to go in the ways of God. Studies have found that 70% of all men incarcerated in the state of California were raised in a family without a father. They were raised in a family where there was no leadership. There was no one showing them right from wrong, reading the Ten Commandments, saying, let's go to church. And when leadership abandons its post, then chaos is the result. In a society, children from broken families are nearly twice as likely as those in two-parent families to drop out of high school. I'm not saying that to hurt someone's feelings. I'm just saying this. When families don't serve the Lord, the whole society pays the price. Moms and dads in your Christian home, whether you're a single parent family, whether you have a mom and dad in the home, whatever the case may be, God bless you for being in God's house today. And may we provide leadership in our families that our children might follow us and know the way they should go. Joshua led his family. But secondly, Joshua led the people. Now we live in a day when many times leadership is rejected. Critiqued, and oftentimes leadership discourages us and certain things we see and so forth. But this was God's plan, not our plan. God's plan was that Joshua would lead the people into the promised land. Notice in verse 10, it says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare ye victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over the Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth to you to possess it. He was to lead this generation to possess the land. Inside of this Canaan land, there were seven city nations, Jericho, Ai, and others, that would have to be conquered. And Joshua was leading them into this great, great challenge. He was to lead the people. But secondly, Joshua's responsibility was to help them claim the promises of God. To help them claim the promises of God. Notice in verse 4 of our text, the Bible says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even under the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. You see, God says, I want you to go and claim the land that I promised to Moses. Now, this is an interesting study. But this land comprised more than 300,000 square miles. God says, I have 300,000 square miles for you. Israel never claimed more than about 10% of that land. And when I think of that, it often reminds me of the average Christian today. God wants to bless them. God wants to use them. The average church today, God wants to bless and use that church. But because of our lack of faith many times, we never claim more than about 10% of what God wanted us to accomplish for His glory. That was the case in Israel's day. I believe we have a good God and a great God who wants to bless His people, don't you? The Bible says in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God says, I have good thoughts toward you. I want to bless you. And Joshua simply believed that. Joshua said, God wants to bless His people. He wants to give us this land. They were to claim the land. And of course, they were to conquer the enemy. God wanted them to go in and conquer the enemy. Verse 5 says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. We're not living in a day when we go and claim territory by the sword and such. But we do have an enemy, and that is Satan. And God wants us to conquer the enemy. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Oh, Joshua's resume was distinct. He was a proven man, a serving man. He was a holy and godly man. But Joshua's responsibility was to lead his family and to lead the people of God to claim the promises of God. Oh, today, may we be the kinds of people who say, Lord, help our family to go on for you. Help our church to go on for you. Help Christians everywhere to claim territory and to do the work that you've called us to do for your honor and glory. But notice, if you will, finally this morning, Joshua's resources. And this is significant. Someone says, well, sure, I'd like to raise a godly family, but that's a pretty big task. I'd like to build a godly business, but that's a pretty big task. And Pastor, some of the things we're trying to do as a church, I mean, boy, these are big, big things. And I just don't see how we can get it all done. I mean, you know, Hollywood has all the television and the wickedness spewing out, and The liberals have their agenda and their money, and many false cults run around with seemingly great amounts of resources. How can we as Christians in this day make a difference? Well, I want you to see that with me this morning. Notice Joshua's resources. How would he get the job done? Verse 5, towards the latter part of the verse, please. It says, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear to their fathers to give to them." Notice, if you will, verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Now, what were Joshua's resources? I want to share two with you. I'm not going to talk about chariots or horses or swords, because those are not the resources that really matter. I want you to see, first and foremost, he had God's presence with him as his greatest resource. The very presence of God. Numbers 27:18 says, "He was a man in whom the Spirit dwelt." Now, I hope you recognize that when you got saved, I mean when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, at that moment you were born again by the Holy Spirit of God. It is sometimes called regeneration, meaning you were changed from the inside out. You were metamorphosized, like a little cocoon that becomes a beautiful butterfly. When you were born again, God began to work in you that your life might become something beautiful to the glory of God. And when you were saved, the Holy Spirit of God took up residence in your life. What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?" The Bible says the Spirit of the living God comes into our lives when we are saved. I'm emphasizing to you this morning that just as Joshua had the presence of God in his life, so we have the presence of God in our lives. And we can claim this promise then, that God is with us, and that He will go into every battle with us, and that He will help us along the way. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Listen, friend, even as God said, "Joshua, you go into battle, and I'll be with you." God says, as you go into work tomorrow, as you go to do the things I've called you to do, "Hey, I'll be with you," so that we can boldly say, "The Lord is my helper." Zechariah 4 and verse 6 says it this way, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." If you're going to have wisdom as a parent, if we're going to have wisdom as soul winners, if we're going to have wisdom in the work of the Lord, then we must have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit of God guiding us and directing us every day. Years ago, there were some preachers having a meeting back east. Back then, most of the mainline denominations had not turned towards liberal persuasion. In that particular day, a lot of the preachers in a same city would get together and have what they called a citywide crusade. They were discussing who the preacher would be for their citywide crusade when one of the older pastors said, "Why don't we have D.L. Moody as our preacher this year for the citywide crusade?" Well, one of the younger pastors said, "Well, why do we have to have Moody? Does he have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit of God?" And the elderly pastor looked at him and said, "No. But the Holy Spirit of God has a monopoly on him," you see. You see, every Christian possesses the Holy Spirit, but not every Christian is possessed of the Holy Spirit. This is why the Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And I say to you that Joshua had the Spirit of God working through his life, and every one of us can have the Spirit of God working through our life. This is God's divine resource given to every believer that we might live for Him and honor and glorify Him. You see, to Moses, God said, "Now, therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth." And to Joshua, God said, "Go, and I will be with thee." And to Jeremiah, God said, "And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." And to you and to me, God says, "Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo," Jesus said, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. You see, the same Spirit of God that empowered Abraham am. And the same Spirit of God that empowered Joshua, and the same Spirit of God that was with Moses, and the same Spirit of God that blessed John R. Rice and G.B. Vick and great preachers of yesterday is with you today, and He's with me today. And He says if we'll ask for His power and wisdom and guidance, He will direct us along the way. Oh, God's presence is with us. Notice, secondly, God's preserved word is with us. You see, God didn't point Joshua to the power of positive thinking. God did not point Joshua to his great abilities or his resume alone. In fact, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Listen, if you've been blessed in your life, if you're a Christian, always remember this. It's all because of God. It's not because of your resume particularly or because of your abilities. It's because of God, isn't it? God blesses us. And notice what the Bible says here in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Now catch this. God pointed Joshua to two things. Number one, He said, Joshua, you're going to need my power. Number two, you're going to need my word. I want you to stay focused on the book of the law, God's preserved word. We don't have time to develop it this morning, but those of you who've studied the Ark of the Covenant know that inside the Ark of the Covenant resided Aaron's rod that budded and the law of God. You know that the scribes carried this and they meticulously copied it. And God says that He has preserved it unto this very day. We know that added to the law were the words of the prophets and then later the words of the apostles as the Holy Spirit of God divinely gave inspiration for His word. Until now we have a book with 66 books contained therein, and they comprise the very word of God. The Bible says in Matthew 5:18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth shall pass away, not one jot nor one tittle in no wise will pass from the law till all be fulfilled. God said, I want you to have confidence when you open my word that you can know that I am speaking to you. And He says here in verse number 8, Joshua, don't let this book depart out of your mouth, but meditate in it and study it and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then notice He also says in verse 8, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. He said, don't just observe the Bible like an intellectual approach, but observe the Bible so you can do what the Bible says. Observe to do. What does James says? We're to be not only hearers of the word, but what? Doers of the word of God. I wonder, friend, in what area of your life, as you perhaps face some crossroads today, in what area of your life does God want to use you to make a difference? In your family? In your community? In helping someone else to know Jesus Christ? Oh, listen, God looked down and He saw His people having a need, and He said, Joshua, I want you to help them. I want you to lead them into the promises. And Joshua could have said like Moses, but how's it going to happen? And God says, Joshua, two things you're going to need, my power and my word. And I want to tell you, friend, that's what we need today, God's power and God's word. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time to study Joshua's life. What a great journey for the faith he took. How he led the people to fight at Jericho and on into the promised land. Oh Lord, use us in our day and in this generation to make a difference. Please, Father, help us in this church. May there be Joshuas raised up all over this building. Men who will lead their families and men who will stand up for Jesus, and ladies too.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, studying currently a series entitled Journeys for the Faith. And friend, your faith journey begins when you come to Jesus Christ in faith. When you come to Him alone as your Savior and receive Him into your heart and life. And friend, if you've never made that decision, we hope you'll make that decision today to let go of religion, to let go of your own goodness, and to trust Christ alone. Invite Him into your heart and life. Confess that you need a Savior and place 100% of your faith in Him for salvation. He will answer that prayer. He will save you, and He will come into your life and begin to change you from the inside out. Before we close out this edition of Daily in the Word, I want to invite you to contact us if we can help you understand salvation more, or if we can provide you with any of the resources that we've mentioned on the program. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. You can find out more about Pastor Chapel and the ministry of Daily in the Word when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. I do want to encourage you to be sure to pick up a copy of Dr. Chapel's newest book, The Burden Bearer. This book is about 150 pages of the most powerful encouragement that I personally have ever read in my Christian life. It's an allegory that powerfully applies biblical principles, and it will help you understand what a relationship with Jesus Christ does in bringing rest and encouragement to your heart. It's again entitled The Burden Bearer. You can find out more about it when you visit again dailyintheword.org. And don't forget, Dr. Chapel invites you to join him and lots of Christian friends from all across the country on the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th of 2014. Once again, August 9th through the 16th, visit dailyintheword.org. Click on the Alaska Cruise link to find out more about this exciting adventure. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.